What's going on, Faster Freedom Nation? Before we get into the show, I want to talk about a giveaway that we are doing. The link is going to be in the show notes below, but basically, if you share the giveaway or like and rate the podcast, you are entered to win. The more you share, the more other people share your share, the more points you will get. And what you win, you will win two t-shirts, two Faster Freedom t-shirts, a Faster Freedom hat, an unreleased Faster Freedom mug, and two signed Faster Freedom Own Your Freedom books that I wrote. All really simple stuff, just simply for clicking a link. All right, back to the show.
You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, I'm going to put it out there. I think this is going to be my favorite episode yet.
You think? How do you not know?
Because we haven't done the episode yet, and it relies a lot on you, and you are just, you know, you're like sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes engaged, sometimes a knucklehead, so you're just all over the place. So I can't guarantee what you're going to bring to the table, but the table is set with the possibilities of being a top episode in our group.
Why would you say that? You just like the content?
I like the content, and I just like the structure of it. I think it's good. I also know the psychology of this type of thing, and my boy, who do I listen to all the time? Cowherd.
Colin Cowherd.
He starts out every episode like full on energy, like acts like it's going to be the best episode, just like to get that vibe going. So that's why we've been doing the bangers at the beginning of everyone.
Gotcha.
Like if you act like, hey, we're going to talk about this, or if you're like, this is going to an incredible episode, but I do think this has the potential
Welcome
to be pretty
good.
This
is Delilah.
So, all right. So I've already taken it down a notch. I can tell this isn't going to be an episode. Luke's in a mood today, which is good because Luke is the focus of today's episode. We're going to talk about the secret to success in real estate. I'm going to interview Lucas. He kind of interviewed me last time with the theme of like fake gurus. I'm interviewing him with just the theme of being successful in real estate. Kind of his story, though, a little bit, give you guys some insight on him. Riddle me this, true or false, would you rather? And then we're going to motivate him. Because it's Motivation Monday, we're going to do one episode a week now. So, boom.
Motivate.
What do you say about this? What do you got for me? Anything? Do you want to do your Ben Wallace stats or no?
Oh, yeah. Let's do some Ben Wallace stats. And I got something weird about this shirt, too. So, like, it's real quick about the shirt. I have a hoodie on, right?
Yes.
And I mean, everybody's got a hood in this room right now because we are transitioning into like winter, fall, and winter months, right?
Even though it's going to be the 70s next week, yeah.
Right. So, it was in the 80s earlier this week, but regardless, like getting back into like winter clothing that you haven't touched in like, I don't know, 8 months, maybe a little less, 7 months. Is funny to me because this has been just on a hanger in my closet for
Does it have the nipples on your shoulders?
Yes, yep. Absolutely, 100% the nipple. I just don't care.
Okay.
I think it's like kind of part of the character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got the nipples on the shoulders, got like wrinkles, and I'm like, all right, is it worth washing this?
Rough elbow.
Is it worth washing this once to get rid? Does washing get rid of nipples?
Water does, I think. So, like, I'm not too worried about them. But some people say ice cube, or if you just like pour some water on it, like it, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's kind of what I did with the wrinkles. I just like sprinkled water and like flattened it out. But it's clean, right? It's just not crisp. It'll be crisper next time.
I don't think sprinkling water and doing that to a shirt. Really,
I don't think it worked.
Nope, I don't think so either. Okay, yeah. What about your Ben Wallace stats?
Ben Wallace stat, crazy stat. So Ben Wallace is a known for his defense. Obviously,
played for the Pistons about 10-12 years ago.
Didn't shoot much unless it was a dunk or a layup. Mm-hmm. Played for the Pistons and won a championship 19 years ago. I think it is now, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that was 2004 they won. But regardless, one of the stat I heard yesterday was Ben Wallace has more blocks. He's blocked more shots than he has accumulated fouls.
That's
personal
wild.
Fouls.
Yes, because like we talk about, like people who block the ball are jumping, they're meeting at the rim. There's a lot of contact, so there are a lot of fouls. That tells you how much body control he had and timing and coordination to do that. As well as, I don't think as many fouls were called back in the day, part of it.
Yeah.
And then they were known as kind of like the rough team, so they like got away with a little more, but still incredible. And then the other one isn't as impressive to me, but still very impressive.
Yeah, the other one is he has more steals than turnovers.
Yeah.
Crazy. So he was an excellent defender, good with the ball. Wow.
Efficient.
I want him on my team.
Efficient. Oh, yeah. Efficient
Especially
player.
Especially if Ron Artest is on the other team.
Yeah. He's not scared of Ron.
No, that's like but, one guy. That's
but a lot
not,
of people are scared of Ron.
Yeah, he is not one of them.
No,
and he's not a dirty player at all. No. Obviously, with like the fouls and stuff.
But imagine Ben Wallace punching you in the face.
Yeah, you would have less of a face afterwards.
You might die. I feel like if he punched me in the face, like my face would go back and my glasses would like stay there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because
like a cartoon,
it would hurt.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't ever do that to me.
No, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I think he's probably really nice. Yeah. Probably hasn't punched that many people in his life.
Yeah.
You might have punched more people in your life.
Probably.
Yep. Okay. All right. So, Lucas, speaking of punching people, no, we'll get into that later. So, let's start it off with a little bit of a curveball. So, I'm going to interview Lucas. I'm obviously going to throw in my insights. We're going to just talk about things that we have done that have helped lead and things specifically Lucas has done to help lead him to be a very, very successful entrepreneur and specifically real estate investor. Do you think that your passion for arm wrestling has led to any of your success in real estate?
No.
Okay, thank you. Talk about why you like arm wrestling so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I do.
Have you paid money like a pay-per-view to watch arm wrestling matches?
I've paid multiple pay-per-views to watch arm wrestling matches and tournaments. So I got
they're
into,
not fights, by the way, don't call them that.
Yeah, they call them arm fights.
They're not fights.
Well, that's what they call them. I'm just like I'm part of it.
You're holding hands with somebody, so when I hold my wife's hand, we're not fighting.
They're squeezing hands.
Okay, like, there you go.
But anyway, I guess I started during COVID.
Can you do this while you're talking?
Yeah,
this is arm wrestling exercises.
I started during COVID, not a lot going on, so I just kind of went down a rabbit hole one day and then found this one guy who I really like. His name's Devin Larratt, and really he's the guy that pulled me in, and he is so captivating and just like real. He lives in Canada. He's a Canadian.
Would you like to get him on the podcast? We might be able to. Write that down. We might be him as a guest when we get all set up.
He's fantastic.
Would you like be like geeked out kind of?
Oh yeah, that's would be cool. Like a little bit of starstruck.
Very few people.
Almost.
Yeah, he would
they
be
have
one
very
of them.
Few people.
He would. That's awesome that he'd be one of them.
And he's just kind of like just very homely, grungy. Like doesn't really care how he looks at all.
Really high quality like content.
No, his content's great but his editing, like there's zero editing. He just like has
literally
a phone.
Zero
on most of his stuff. Yeah, he just kind of talks in a chair or holds a phone while he's walking. And the reason why I like him is, you know, he was Special Forces, Canadian Special Forces for like 20 years and arm wrestling during all of that. And then he retired in like 17 or 18 and just went all in on arm wrestling. He's became the best, one of the best, if not the best since then, just because he could like devote all his time to professional arm wrestling and content because mm-hmm. he's got like, you know, not a ton, but he's got like 700 plus thousand subscribers on YouTube.
That's
now.
A lot on YouTube. Like very
on YouTube.
Lot. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. And he'll just post like minute videos here and here, just like regular posts.
like no strategy.
Just, no strategy.
That's why it's probably so good because it's so authentic.
Authentic. And we've talked about that last episode, right? Mm-hmm. So super cool. So he's Andy, I feel like there's there's other arm wrestles that try to have that social media aspect to them.
He's the biggest name in the sport.
Yeah, and he tries to by far. He's why people watch arm wrestling. Mm-hmm. But there's other arm wrestlers.
Well, not that many people watch arm wrestling.
Who have like more quality, higher quality editing in their social media and stuff and like into fitness and stuff, but it like takes away from the actual arm wrestling. So he loves arm wrestling and the content he shoots is just like a byproduct of it.
What are the top three things that make good arm wrestle? Then we'll move on.
Oh, top three things. So, first of all, by the time this episode is out, there was a big tournament last weekend or 2 weekends ago. So I'm going to buy that.
Did he win it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's.
How much is it?
It's cheap. It's like $15.
Yeah, because they can't charge a premium for
that. No, but he's with a promoter over in Turkey and. Devin, who's the biggest name of the sport, and this promoter are doing some really cool things to make it big so they can pay athletes more, so they can convert weightlifters to arm wrestlers and stuff like that.
Okay, so top three things
that make a good arm wrestler.
Because I mean, I'm not gonna, but there's like wrists and hands, a lot of different things.
Yeah, well, just coming just talking strength in general.
Yeah,
it's how Devin talks about it is it's most important at the very end, and everything this way is less important.
So like finger strength,
finger,
hand strength,
finger
wrist
and
strength,
thumb,
yeah,
finger, thumb, hand, wrist, to forearm.
I think so. Like from most here people to think here. Forearm and bicep, but I
yeah,
think
it's not from much my bicep.
Like talking to you about it, I think a lot of it. I know the wrist, just super strong wrist, mm-hmm. is a huge part of it. Heck, you know, get that
and
leverage.
There's just so unique movements. Like this is the most powerful movement in arm wrestling.
Just the
it's called
twist
the pronator.
Yeah. Yeah. He he's showing me a couple of his things. I love. He like literally will like laugh at people in the middle of arm wrestling, like because that you can tell right away if you're gonna win or not, and like he'll get like the position he needs, and he'll yeah. just look at him and laugh.
I say this in the most endearing way possible, but he's like a psycho, mm-hmm. but in a good way. Like I love the guy, but sometimes he takes it way too over the top and is trash talking. I do love John Brzink too. Shout out to John Brzink.
There you go. Shout out John.
He's the goat.
Okay, where's he from? Georgia or something?
Nah, he lives in Phoenix.
Oh,
I thought
there was some huge dude from Georgia.
Yeah,
or Jordan.
Yeah, I mean
or
he's only been like good country, for like five years. Okay. John Brzink's been winning championships,
fighting championships
for 40 years.
Okay,
and he's 59, going for another title.
So he's the goat.
He's the goat. He's in Over the Top, the movie with like.
Nobody watched
Sylvester Stallone. He's in there.
Oh, arm wrestling movie.
Yeah, there's okay. an arm wrestling movie. So love arm wrestling. It's weird. I know. I don't even like actually arm wrestling. I'm just like a fan.
I don't do because I'm afraid of like I'll tear a bicep.
Oh, I know I would. That's yeah, like my elbow is trash from yeah. like pitching and stuff. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So Lucas, aside from that, so
that is so random. By the way, I love it.
What? Where do you get your drive? For success and your passion to compete and put yourself out there and grow a company, like where does that come from? Because not everybody has that, and if they do have, not everybody's willing to actually implement it. So, what do you think fuels your drive to do what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing that comes to mind is I just fucking hate losing.
Mm-hmm. Competitive?
Yeah, super competitive. I'm not as like vocal about it, but like I feel it in my core, like even to this day, like little things drive me insane if we lose at it, you know, especially if I'm passionate about it, like mm-hmm. I don't care, you know, not succeeding or not winning something that's stupid, but like even like my son's basketball game, like that revs me up.
Oh goodness.
If they're not,
hopefully he doesn't see that.
No, I try to okay. keep that in because that's obviously not like,
so you would you thing. Say you're one of those people that, which is not a good or bad, do you hate winning more or do you
I love winning more.
You love winning. I mean, you're pretty passionate about hating losing.
Yeah, no, I love winning
so
more.
So I fucked up that question, but it's do you hate losing more or do you like winning more?
We got
more?
It, Sam.
Well, like, they didn't, maybe.
Everybody knows that. No, I like winning more because a lot of times, you know, losing, especially in like real estate investing or business, it's like, what is it? There's no game. There's not many scorecards where you're like compared against a lot of people, especially in like the private sector that we mm-hmm. are. So there's not a lot of losing. It's just like maybe some failures, some obstacles, and we just learn from those, right? And I've learned to turn those failures into learning lessons and opportunities very young. So I guess I thank my parents for that. Mm-hmm. So I would say I was born with a lot of it, but some of the challenges that I had to overcome as a child, and then getting into organized sports and getting a taste of what winning felt like, and winning with a team in particular, I think is what helped fuel my drive. Because not only do I not want to fail, but I don't want to fail for anybody that's on my squad either.
A lot of that comes with, we talked a lot about, we've had episodes before, a couple of them, I think, talking about the importance of like sports and how that's led to, you know, business success. So
yeah,
you would say that the biggest factor, the driver for your success, initially you thought was just that competitiveness is a huge part of it, wanting to win and not wanting to lose, and the awesomeness that comes with winning and the shittiness that comes with losing.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and yeah, maybe at the beginning of our career, afraid to fail was more prominent. Mm-hmm. And that kind of drove us more in the beginning, but it's hard to continue building a business that way because I feel like it'll really skew some of your decisions and not help you make the best decisions possible. So nowadays, I feel like we're, you know, if we fail, we fail. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all good. Mm-hmm. Like, and we're making decisions on what could be something really, really big and cool and powerful in the future. Okay. And we're off of inspiration instead of fear of failure.
I like it. I like it. So I called an audible just a few times in high school, so I'm going to audible here. So we're just going to go.
What was your main audible?
It was always a sneak up the middle.
Yeah, what did you do?
I would pinch the center's butt. Yeah. So, like, if there was, like, a gap, like, I saw, like, a gap. This is, like, high school, so, like, you know, there's not, like, huge guys decent. But anyways, if I would see, like, a gap, you know, the A gap, like, in front of the center to the left or right, if we had a different play called Nobody Else Knew, I would pinch the center's right butt cheek if I was going to get it, and he's going to hike to me, and then he would just go right, and I would go behind him or left that way. And I mean, I had 50-yard runs doing that, mm-hmm. and I had, like, so a lot. So that was the main audible. So the audible for this
real quick, do you think that's what Jalen Hurts and Jason Kelce do? You think that's their sneak play?
Maybe might be a little ball tickle or something.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. I think that's called the tush push is what they call it.
Tush
push. Nobody else can do it, which is insane. I've seen other people try to do it, and they just – I think the how they do it. I don't get why people don't – the linemen do something different in the Eagles one.
Though. Their quarterback sneak is ridiculous. They're averaging over like a yard per quarterback sneak.
Every time – and so – A, I think Jalen Hurts squats like 600 pounds.
Yes, that helps.
And B, apparently, I'm not like a expert at lineman, but Kelce is like
one of the best centers ever. Yeah.
Ever. Like, yeah. Like Hall literally, he is not credited with giving up a sack in like 3 years or something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he's not like the biggest guy. He's just super smart, super like low center. Whatever it is, he's like the best center ever. And his brother is like one of the best tight ends ever.
That's awesome. Quite the family.
Yeah, and they got a podcast. Probably not as cool as our podcast, but
I like their podcast. I'm it's kidding. Good. They kind of remind me of us every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah, just kind of real and
I'm
don't let the fame get to them.
I'm
like
Travis.
Us.
You're Jason.
Nah, no.
I don't think either of us are.
I think we probably have traits of each.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the audible for this is we're gonna go off the wall question, business question, off the wall question.
Yeah.
So we're on to off the wall question.
Off
now.
The wall.
All right. So. What can you tell me about the Kelly D boys?
Yeah, the Kelly D boys was it really wasn't. So we used to in college. I've liked hip hop since I probably was 12. Mm-hmm. Started really getting
big
into hip hop.
Yeah,
like Eminem coming out, obviously, and like Ludacris back in the day. So I've always liked like
T.I.
a little later. Yeah, always like rap and hip hop. But when I went to school.
College.
Yep. I met a gentleman who loved music and producing music and rapping as well too. And he actually went on to make several albums. And I think he's still trying to. Shout out to D Burner was his name.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But loved it. And him and his other buddy had a little studio and in their dorm room. And then we also had some studio time over on at the campus
like the
radio station.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So our dorm was called Kelly, and then our building was D, and we all lived in that building. So we called us the Kelly D Boys, and we created a little like mixtape. Yeah, it was
so
fun.
It was a rap group, is what the short answer was. Well, but gave the detail. That was good. I'm
but
just
it
saying.
Wasn't that wasn't the name of the rap group.
Oh,
I just wrote it
on the burner
on
CD?
On the burn CD.
What's the name of the rap group?
We didn't even have a name. We just got together.
Well, because it wasn't like superficial or anything. So you had a couple songs. You were featured in a couple. You had a couple. Did you have one of your own, or was it always like a feat or with somebody?
It was always with somebody. It was always just fun.
I'm going to spit some of your lines.
Please, not all of them. But,
not all of them.
Okay.
So I just know
we had some good songs I liked.
I know. So like one of them I just remember is like Lucas. This is Lucas says, honestly, I'm a motherfucking prodigy. Gotta be sick. I'll mix up like a mother. You said fuck a lot, motherfucking old man. I'll hit you in the face, dog, twice with my slow hand. We some grown man. We stack our own grands. And then I think it was hit you in the face with my slow hand. But I can do a lot of your raps. You can do mine, I too. But we're not. This episode's not about me. So, but I can say a lot of your raps. I
can
CD
say
somewhere.
A lot of yours.
Oh, but this episode's not about me, Lucas.
Yeah. So
that
so
was
that
a good rap though. It's good
so
rhyming.
So I lived with those guys like when I was playing basketball, and then when I transferred schools, moved in with Sam and our other buddy, and we would make raps on our laptops.
That would go viral if you ever
I think I found the laptop.
I give it to Bill and let him pull it out.
Yeah, but so we would like stay up late and like instead of going out to the bar, we'd just like drink beers and make rap songs all night.
Or a whole bottle of vodka. Yeah. That one Monday night, it was just me and you. We did a whole bottle of vodka and rap. Yeah,
we thought we were cool.
It was fun. Better going out and getting in bar fights. We did that too.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the real estate or entrepreneur-focused question. So how are you handling, and let's take this broad and narrow, we talked a little bit before this episode, the broadness of, like, you know, the general being a business owner, leader, as well as like people that are just wanting to get into real estate. So try to relate to both here. But how are you handling this uncertain market? Because this is a wild market with like interest rates and inflation and supply being low and, you know, the war. There's just a lot going on. I feel like there's always things going on. Real quick, I'm a big proponent of everybody thinks like what's happening is the craziest thing ever. There's always a lot going on. But I feel like right now, there's a lot extra, maybe. Even if there's not, there's a lot going on. So how do you handle this, like, uncertainties of real estate?
Yeah. I think there's always a lot going on.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been crazy for the last 9 years, right? It was when we first started, bought our first house in 2014, it was, you know, are you crazy? The market's never going to come back to what it was. Like, real estate's gone.
Dead. Yeah, people thought that.
Yeah, people thought that. We're like, all right, well, have you thought it was a good idea?
We're going to try it.
Obviously worked. And then that was for a while. And then I would say 4 years-ish. And then it kind of, and then it stayed pretty similar, like slow growth. And then 2018 hit and interest rates jumps like a percentage or a percent and a half. And then boom, just the market stopped. And that was like our first taste of, wow, like don't get caught with your pants down.
We had a lot of losses in the houses we bought that year.
Yeah. So then that goes into, you know, kind of crawl out of that. No big deal. Wasn't like, you know, super threatening to our business, but maybe a little close. And then that goes into 2020. Freaking COVID, and then coming out of that, it was like the craziest market of all time. So I feel like now is a little more regular than all that crap.
The
market's
more regular. I feel like the external forces are. They're just, I feel like there's more of them, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Maybe like there's more like maybe fringe, but there's more like fringe, like potential, like, you know, effectors to the market than before. It was COVID. That was just it. And before it was just, you know, the fear of what's going to happen with real estate. Now interest rates are insane, inflation. So we're dealing with a lot. Going to the election, you're a lot of things. So that was the base. So how do you handle, like, is it just stick to the fundamentals? Is it strategies you're trying? What is it?
That's kind of what it is to me. Yeah. Stick to the fundamentals, get really good at what you do, know what you do, and just go all in at that. If you try to stray out of your niche, it gets challenging, especially in a challenging market. But I just really try to focus on what we can control, and we cannot control the market, right? We want to try to you know, our job is not to predict what's going to happen, but be prepared for whatever that does. So whatever does happen. That could have been a great short, but I fucked it up.
It's all good. That's why you're just a wild card.
That's why we got you. But anyway, so you know, we track the market. We try to think of different scenarios of what might happen, but the truth is nobody fucking knows.
Nope.
So if you stick to the fundamentals and do your job for today, that's what you can control, and that's what allows me to not get caught up in this worry, fear, and doubt about uncertainties in the market.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good, the perspective, the long-term view, they're just knowing that it's cyclical and it's up, it's down, it's sideways, it's going to do a lot of things, and not overreacting, but preparing, I think, is a good. Yeah. So.
And there's always little strategy shifts. That happens all the time.
Like novations, and we did more wholesaling.
Midterm rentals, always little strategy shifts, which is a fun part of it. So embrace that, but don't shift strategies without a little research and without, you know, trying to get really good at it, too. If you're going to shift a little bit, get freaking good at it and go all in.
Like, you're going to shift to midterm rentals, you got to buy our midterm rental product we have coming out.
Yeah,
it's going to be over 100 videos. Dude, I record like 50 already.
Sick.
Yeah. Kiki sat with me. It's going to be insane. Literally, like, we're not known as the midterm rental people, but there are, we have a ton in the office. Kale's got 11. There's people that are selling courses that should be and that put out content that's great that own like 6. So anyways, that's perspective. It's a newer thing. We're going to have the most in-depth, program out there. But anyways, all right, back to some not real estate. So let's go through, the acquiring and then the demise of all of your vehicles from like the age of 16 to 22.
Okay.
So Civic.
Fifteen. So I got a Civic.
Spoiler alert, there's like 8 of them vehicles in like this short period of time.
I mean, yeah. It's not that many.
Okay, let's see.
But the first three ruined.
Okay.
got a Civic. You know, I liked cars. I wanted to have a fast car. I thought a Civic would be the way to do that.
Racing. Well, I mean, a limited budget at freaking 15. Oh, yeah. So that's why.
I think I got it for $6,000 or $7,000, yep. Right? I bought it from another kid in our high school who had...
Clay, right?
Yeah. Who had the, full exhaust, the headers, the cold air intake, you know, all that. So I was always, like, tinkering with it and thought it was, like, super fast, and it was not
at
all.
What happened to that one? Did you blow a ride out of that?
Yeah, I drove the shit out of that car. I got it when I was 15, and every day after school I live on like a pretty decent sized gravel driveway, and I would just hammer it up the gravel driveway every day, just up and down, because I couldn't go on the road yet.
It's a big steep hill too.
Yeah, and then I would go up
to
my neighbor's.
I almost killed us going down that hill.
You sure did. I'm glad we're still here.
Yep.
I bent a valve in that one.
Okay, don't do that, right?
Yeah, don't do
don't
that.
Bend valves.
So okay. Then we got it like kind of fixed by like this one of my dad's like buddies, and but it never really ran right. So we just like sold it, even though it didn't really run right. You know,
okay, then
don't
what was
buy
the next
a used
one?
Car. Next one was the Mazda Speed.
Okay. Yep. Orange.
Yeah, orange. I love that car. And that car was actually a little quick. Had a little turbo.
Wasn't it Protégé? But
yeah, Mazda Speed Protégé. Okay, it was just like the souped-up version of the Protégé because it had a turbo. But that car was pretty cool.
How'd you kill that one?
Multiple different ways I killed that one. So I got that when I was like a senior in high school maybe, and maybe junior. Either way, took it to college, and then I was showing my buddy how fast it was in college. We got on the highway, and I threw a rod right through the top of the engine block, right through my my hood, and it was just spraying oil everywhere.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So we got that motor rebuilt. My dad's probably like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
so
probably.
Didn't really have enough money to go get a new car, but we found this option to get the motor rebuilt for, you know, a few grand.
How'd you kill that motor?
And then we took that car down to a different college town when I transferred.
Springfield.
So Springfield doesn't have the best, I would call it, like, drainage systems.
Sewage, the water.
Stormwater.
When it rains
runoff.
a lot, it just stays on the road.
Stays on the road. It's so flat. And, every time it rains, there would be, like, you know, 3 to 12 inches of water buildup on some roads. And that's what happened. And then there was a side road, and I had a cold air intake in that car. So the intake wraps around the wheel, and it's behind the wheel well, so it could pull cold air to help the engine go faster,
yep.
Right? But not good for floods, because it sucked up the water when I tried to drive through this puddle. It just looked like it was a road. I had to go home, and I was like, oh, it looks good. Sucked up water, and that blew up the motor, and then we totaled it out at that point.
Okay. What's the next vehicle?
Oh, man. Then, got a Suzuki Grand Vitara.
I love that so much.
I hated that.
I know
car.
It's like a soccer mom, like a older like soccer mom car.
It reminds me of like a little like a little jungle car or a little desert car.
Yeah,
that's where I could see it at.
You look pretty stupid.
Oh yeah, that was awful. But it was 4-wheel drive, so it kind of introduced me to 4-wheel drive. I've never not had a 4-wheel drive since, because really really liked that.
Okay.
So I thought it was cool.
And this is all like 15 to 20 still ish.
Yeah. So I really didn't do anything to like break that one. but it did, like, every time I got gas, I had to pour in a quart of oil. So we've done some fun things with that car too. With pulling, we pulled a big screen TV down our road.
I think I was on the TV. Were you driving, or were we both on the TV?
I don't know.
So we had a big screen TV in our college house that was like one of those big, like, box ones. It had broken. We didn't know what to do with it. So there's this ice storm.
I know. Well, I know why we got a new one, but that's probably a story for another day.
But we it was like just a huge box TV, like 6-inch TV. It was probably
heavy,
like,
as heck.
Probably 2 feet wide.
Yeah, like deep. Yeah.
Deep, yeah. And so it was
like a 60-inch TV, but like this deep.
It wasn't working
probably
for a while.
200 pounds.
Yeah, so we had a like a snow/ice storm, like everything was shut down. So one evening after we had some a few drinks, we didn't go on the highway or anything, but somebody, maybe the person driving the car, wasn't drinking probably. Anyways, we brought the TV outside, we put it on the front yard, we put it on its back, and then we tied a rope to the
to the TV. Wasn't a rope is the funny thing.
Oh, extension cord.
We didn't have a rope.
Extension cord to the TV, and then an extension cord to the back of the truck, Suzuki, and then we just used it as a sled throughout the streets, and then we left it at like the Jiffy Lube right up the road, in the parking lot.
Yeah, we got rid of it. It was perfect. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right by the dumpster.
Right by the dumpster, yep. Yeah.
Right where it's supposed to be.
That's what you do in college.
It was a good time. So then I traded that in for a mid-sized truck.
Nissan?
Yeah, Nissan Frontier.
Drove no AC after. Though, right?
That was
I felt
right.
like when you were like going to your engineer job for a while, you didn't have AC.
Oh, really I didn't, yeah, for a while there.
Didn't I ruin the back of that with Kills or something?
Then I traded that in, Sam, for the truck I have right now.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't as many as I thought, yeah. Yeah. Kind of like you just running hot with the Tats for a little bit.
Yeah. Once I got that Frontier, I feel like I was a little more responsible.
Probably. Yeah. Cool. That's a good one. So
with the Tats.
What role do you think like your W-2 job had that helped you or hindered you to be a successful entrepreneur, business owner, real estate investor?
Yeah, 100%. I would say I was a project manager, like an engineering project manager. Is that what we're talking about? And mm-hmm. how did that help?
Yep.
So from a real estate investment standpoint, you know, as an engineer, you're always analyzing stuff. So I loved at the very beginning analyzing investment opportunities to see which one made sense, which one didn't. So I just kind of converted my skills from, you know, numbers that didn't have a dollar sign in front of them to numbers that do. So those are the kind of numbers that I like. And
analyzation.
Yep. So and then I would say like on the leadership team building aspect of it, being a project manager, you know, you have to communicate well to a team of people that are all striving for a common goal and lead that team. So that side of the skills helped with that here.
Awesome. So you think there was a lot of benefit to having that for a while.
I do. Yeah. I think even getting that degree was a challenge for me. I'm not like, you know, don't have the highest IQ in the world. It's up there, right? But it's not
mid to low, probably.
I had to work hard to get passing grades for engineering school.
I didn't have to work hard.
Yeah, you did not. I know. Yeah.
My IQ is so high.
Your fucking homework was like you like scribbled a picture of like a llama or something. You're like, look, I'm turning this in. I'm like, boom. Wow.
That's what you do for marketing degrees. All right. So, Lucas, I have written on here. I'm just going to read what I have written on here, and I'll let you take it. Three words. Scar on head. You got a big old scar on
your
head. I do,
What
happened there?
Yeah, that
it's
was...
like a, probably like, what is it? It was like a 5-inch, 4-inch scar?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. So, I was... big scar. So, you were there, obviously. So, I think it was like after a baseball game. Maybe. Like, all the...
It was in summer.
All the boys like came back to my parents' house because we were like, what, 13, 14? 14, probably.
Oh, 14, yeah.
Came back to my parents' house. They live in the country, and it was around 4th of July, so we had all these fireworks, mm-hmm. and we decided to have a war with the fireworks mm-hmm. and see who could like blow each other up, I guess. I don't really know. So there was like, I don't know, maybe 8 of us, give or take, so like 4 and 4, trying to blow each other up, completely dark. I run out of ammo. Sam's got the best firework weapon possible.
For short range.
For short range is that Roman candle. Yeah. Just boom,
it was,
boom.
It was like an 8 or 12 pack or two. Yeah. That's a minute.
So Sam was lighting me up from my side, just like boom, boom, boom. And I decided to start like running. I was out of ammo, so I tried to like run somewhere. And this is at my own house is why it's kind of embarrassing, but it's all good. My dad had like an old truck with an old like gas tank in the back of it, like mm-hmm. like a giant gas tank, like 8 foot high, 3 foot wide. I don't know, for like, you know, apocalypse or something.
Yeah,
you
who know? Freaking knows? Yeah. Yeah.
But this thing was like sitting sideways in the back of the truck with its metal legs sticking out in the air. So I saw the truck because it's pretty dark. But I ran to the side of the truck, but I didn't see those metal legs, and I ran right into the corner of it mm-hmm. on the top of my head. And luckily, it didn't hit my eye, and I just felt like warmth all over my face, and it was just so much blood. And I went in and I knocked on my front door. I remember my mom running to the front door, and she like practically fainted mm-hmm. When she saw how much blood was all over me. So went to the doctor, went to the emergency room. You guys had to go home, mm-hmm. obviously, and... the doctor said to like bite on the stick, and he just like put in I think it was 13 staples. So yeah,
that's good. And then
and when I had hair, it was a little.
Yeah, you had hair at the
time.
It
was when I had hair at the time. It was like you could see it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty substantial, you know, hard part, like the boys do these days.
It was kind of like hard part. Yeah, you were ahead of it, so you're welcome. Yeah. And I didn't know that he was injured, so I just knew he was on the ground, so I kept peppering you when you were on the ground.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man. Mm-hmm. Great friend.
Yes, exactly. Like, let's go into business in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what you were thinking when you were getting smoked.
Yep.
So kind of to take this, obviously, back to the real estate space and kind of the business entrepreneurial space, what would you, and I know this is a broad question, so we can dilly-dally while you're thinking of an answer. What would you, like, somebody listening to this, wants to buy more real estate and they want to get to the level that you are at, like, what would you tell them is like things that they can start to do? Because getting somewhere and where you're at, like, people know where they want to go, but how to get there, or at least the first couple steps to take, is tough for people.
For sure. Yeah. I think people getting started, like, they have this vision of being rich.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get interested into real estate investing, right? Yep. Oh, I want to be rich. I see people doing this, right? And that was kind of our idea too.
At first, yeah.
Rich or cash flow or early retirement, something along those lines. And that is going to change for you at some point, but being able to create that freedom with real estate will allow you to think more impactfully than just getting yourself rich. So that's all right to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's focus on that for now. So, we're thinking about getting rich, so we probably don't have much money now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three things we got to go find, right? In my eyes, maybe not three, but the first one is you got to go find some sort of funding for these deals because you don't have the money to do it yourself. So whether it's a hard money lender or a private money lender, those are the two I would start with focusing, building relationships with. So when you find your first deal, that's a deal. You're able to close on that and make that happen. So there's a lot of financing options out there that you can do 100% financing and don't have to put any of your own money in the deal. But that is only the case if you find that deal at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
So after you line up some money, then you got to go figure out deal flow in my eyes. So start building relationships with wholesalers and real estate agents. Maybe start dabbling with director seller marketing, and then figure out a way to get consistent deal flow coming in the door, even if they're not all going to be great deals.
Mm-hmm.
But have someone send you a deal that you can analyze and understand, is this a deal, is this not, and then move on. And then after you do about 20, 30, 40 of those analyzations, you will know what's a good deal and what's not. So when that good deal comes, which it will come, you're able to confidently jump on it and have the money right there ready to go.
Okay.
And then step three is contractors.
So funding, deal flow, and contractors.
Funding, deal flow, contractors, then back in financing. That's like...
And they all take time, and you have to have the...
But you can do... If you do those first two, you can figure out the other two.
It's a good deal, and you got the money to buy it, you're going to figure it out.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you have options.
I like it.
Yeah.
Perfect. So... Lucas, got another off the wall, another strategical one, and then maybe end with an off the wall, or we'll see. So you, from the age of 18 to the age of 20, how many tattoos did you get?
That's a great question. Not a whole bunch, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five. Okay.
And then I got some like added on.
But you just extend. But so
yeah, but five total.
And then from the age of 21 to the age of 36, almost, how many have you gotten?
Zero.
Okay. I just think that's very interesting.
It is.
You went all hard at it and then just stopped.
And then most people who have probably did that, like, maybe might regret it, but I
don't regret them.
I love
all mine. And you didn't keep going.
Yeah.
Most people like get it and then just keep going because it's like addicting, kind of a cool thing. And then, or they like regret them.
Yeah. I could see myself getting some more. I just haven't been super inspired to do it for some reason.
Okay.
I would definitely get some more.
So a lot of people are surprised that you have that many tattoos.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, and then this one is a little like rounding up the strategic ones. So you own like $46 million worth of real estate. You own a property management company. You own a house flipping company. You own a real estate investing education company. What do you think you are going to have to change about yourself? If anything, which we're always growing, but what do you think I have to change about yourself to get to that next level? So this is not the relatable thing for everybody, but this is just, what do you think you're going to have to work on or improve to get to a $100 million organization, to get to all that?
To get to an NBA team.
Yep.
to have that type of, you know, that type of resources and impact. That's a fantastic question. I think it's something that we're always thinking about. I feel like if I knew that answer, we'd already be there, right? So
part of it is time, by the way. Part of it can't happen right away. So that's part of it. But aside from that.
So I'm always looking, you know, we play this game like be your future self now, where you're looking 10 years in advance. And how would you want to act as that person? And then go ahead and do that now. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to wait that long to be that person. But yeah, that's a great question. In the question, you would say is on an individual standpoint,
do you think? Like, do you think like, hey, we're going to have to treat this more of a business and get personal assistance and and prioritize our time? We're literally every 15 minutes during the day. Like, there's like the billionaires of the world. Like, they are not just like, they're like, they're working when they're working.
But we're not.
But you know what I mean. Like, Jeff Bezos, like, so strategic. He doesn't make big decisions after 10 a.m.
For sure. And we would probably need to protect our time a little better. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of parts of me feels like that's a little douchey. But
to a degree.
Yeah. But to get to, you know, 100 million, 200 million, 500 million, $1 billion company and an NBA team here, you know, we're going to have to get a little more protective of our time as we continue to grow, too. And more people are going to want our time, too. Mm-hmm. So I think we're reading that book, The One Thing Now, The Power of Saying No to Certain Things is going to be more and more important as we grow. All leadership, to me, is the number one thing that is going to get us from where we are today to a billion or whatever, billion plus. So search for continual growth as a leader never stops. Mm-hmm. Like that, there, it's such an art and not a science. So many different nuances that, and how we apply that to our company, I think, is a lot of fun for me. So I think about that a lot. But in order to continue thinking big picture like that, we're going to have some sort of capacity that we just don't have at the moment. I feel like we're still a little bit too much in it, which is fine. We love it.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, not, yeah.
But we're going to have to free up our time to think a little bigger, a little broader.
Yeah, that's tricky to me because it does sound kind of douchey how you put it. I don't know if that's how to put it, but kind of. There's just a lot of these people, and I hear them say it, like the reason they're so successful is because they say no so much. And like, I don't want to say no to somebody like walk in my office or somebody talk, but like that's what they attribute to it. Yeah. They're not like, hey, I made this strategic decision and bought all these companies. Like, no, I said no to all of those things that were distracting, that weren't going to make leaps and bounds. And then I said yes to the very few things that made the big difference.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. That's tough. But yeah, that's tough to do.
Yeah, and it's, you can look at it from like a strategy standpoint or new product standpoint, but just like day to day, right? What is your genius zone, and what is most important for you to do, and say yes to those things and no to everything that doesn't fit that box.
For sure. All right, last off the wall question, then we're getting to riddles.
Yeah.
True and false. I'm gonna stump Luke's on riddles, and I'm gonna get all the true and false right, and you're gonna do push-ups, and they're gonna do would you rather.
Ooh, do we always do those segments in the same?
Because we're doing one a week now,
so
we're making it longer, one a week.
We should always make someone lose.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? Like, you get less, even if it's, you know, even if you get two right, you might be doing push-ups if I get all three right.
You're not getting all three right. Yours is way harder, though. I'm good with that, though. Mine's true or false. Yours is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you have a lot of hints, and I give you hints. But anyways.
Give me some hints.
All right, last one, Lucas. So from the age of 18 to the age of 22, how many fist fights did you get into?
Yeah. Man, that's a good question. I haven't, you know, it's not
a notch on the belt type situation.
No, it's not a part of me I'm super proud of.
Well, no, I mean, you know, you were an idiot, but it's not like we were just like cold cocking a stranger on the street.
Right,
there were like
true.
Arguments that led to things. Yeah, so anyways.
There was something that I thought was worthy of potentially getting punched. I would say, I don't know, if I had to guess, like seven.
It's a lot of physical fights in somebody's life. Yeah. Like, I feel like we were in the office. Nobody has been in more than seven fights.
Okay.
Maybe not, though.
Yeah. Most of them are like, you know, group scuffles of some sorts. You know, not a whole lot of like one-on-one stuff.
How many fights have you gotten since you turned 22?
Zero.
Yeah.
I just know what's worth it and what's not worth it now. I have a way different perspective on life.
I know. I just did all of those like that like age 16 to 22.
Yeah.
Fighting, going through cars,
tattoos.
And getting tattoos.
That sounds a fucking badass, bro.
Yeah. badass as it gets.
How I got my wife.
Yeah, there you go. She's like, that dude punched him. I want him.
Now she's probably like, you're boring.
No, she's like, that dude's got tattoos and he's punching people. I want him.
I still got a little dog in me.
Little dog in you?
Yeah.
Dogs never go away. Stop it. Stop it. All right. So I'm going to stump you now on Riddle Me This.
No, you're not.
All right. So if you are watching a YouTube. Oh, no. That's.
What are you doing? I was like, what are you reading?
I thought that was part of the riddle. Oh,
you can still say it.
If you're watching YouTube, pause the video, comment, and answer. I thought that because I read the, like, I read too really slow. That's hilarious.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You're just going to read the tone?
Yes. Yeah. All right. What is full of holes but still holds water?
Man, this one's tough because I can think of a few different ones that still holds water is a little gray to me. The first thing that popped up in my head is like Cheerios.
He always does that.
But it's not Cheerios. But because so that could be like a 50-50 one.
But it's very
one.
Similar.
So is it a circle like that? Like a,
no.
Full of holes, still holds water. Swim trunk mesh?
Sponge. So that's like...
No, that's good.
Cheerios hold milk, by the way. If you eat cereals with water, you're
that's
freak.
A great point. But I was thinking like fluid.
I know, I get what you're
but
saying.
But they would.
But it's a similar thing. Like a like if you zoom in really deep to a Cheerio, it probably looks like a sponge.
I was thinking like the center, though.
Oh, so yeah. Then maybe I won't give that. We'll
yeah.
see.
I don't think so. I don't think I get that one.
What is always in front of you but can't be seen?
I think
you might get this.
I got two very different answers for this. I got like the physical one, which would be eyes, is always in front of you, but you can't see your eyes. And then I got like the like your future.
It's your future. Yeah, okay. You got that one for sure.
So I had two for that one. Where or
I don't know about the eyes. Eyes aren't in front of you.
Always right back of you.
Well, they're like in you. They're not in you.
But they're in front of you.
Your nose
is
more in
the front of your body.
Yeah.
But you can see your nose.
Not usually, unless you go cross-eyed.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Can't see your eyes.
This is it.
No matter how hard you try.
Where does today come before yesterday?
Oh, boy.
Like, we could never switch this up because I would get just so frustrated.
Oh, dictionary.
Yep. Yeah. Two or three.
Two or three, I'll take that.
Pretty good.
I'll take two or three. That first one I did not get.
No. All right.
Sponge. That's good. Thanks for those. Good ones.
You make them too easy.
I don't know about that. I don't want to like not just be like
I
not
know that's
know any
true.
Of them.
There, no, I'm kidding. He does a very good job making them potentially gettable for sure.
Two out of three, so you need at least two or else you're doing 20. If you get three, I'm doing 20.
I did
20.
Do chess this morning at the gym, so maybe it's a little cool down.
Perfect. There you go. All right. True or false segment.
Chess and abs. I did two sets of 25. Apps.
That's good. Work your way into it.
Crunches.
What'd you do for chess? What do you do for chess these days?
I did. So I do little like 10 to 15 like dumbbell flies to get warmed up, just to warmed up, and then just go ahead and I don't like try to overdo it. I think I grabbed like 50s and did flat dumbbells, like three sets of like 15 or something. I'm doing higher reps, and then went ahead and did like the fly machine.
Yeah.
And then went and ended with like 40s on incline or something, 45s on incline.
Yeah, you're a dumbbell guy because I remember you've always had like a little bit
still
shoulders.
Is. Yeah,
so
I
you don't
do
the barbell. Yeah.
I can't. I still, even to this day, I can't. It's still a little something in there.
Yeah.
Scar. I'm sure. I'm just like scar tissue or something. I'm assuming. So okay. All right.
All right. True or false? I was gonna make fun of you a little bit. A segment where Lucas will try to stop saying.
That's what I did. That's funny.
All right, bro. All right. True or false? A is the most common letter used in the English language.
A is probably used a lot, so I'm sure it means like the like you can say A as like a what is that a article?
Yeah.
Or inside words.
Yes.
So A is probably a big one. I is probably a big one as well. Mm. And people say I a lot. Is this written or ver? It just doesn't really matter. Probably
written.
I'm gonna say true.
It's false. It's E.
E, okay. Yeah,
one of the vowels.
One of the vowels, yep. Yeah. Okay.
E, that surprises me with the word being A, and E by itself is not a word.
Yeah, because people would say A or use the word A a lot.
That, like A wall, A hat.
And even like you say, and asset, and equilibrium.
Yeah.
And elephant.
Yeah. We might want to appeal that one. All right, all good.
Well, I should have just looked on the sheet and counted. Well, think about that. You said the A segment where Luke just tries to stump Sam. There's one, two, three.
Oh, my gosh. In that sentence alone, A is the most common letter used in the English language. E smashes A in that sentence.
Does it? Well, yeah. The one above it, A is the same. Three A's and three E's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wild.
Probably close.
Yeah. Okay. True or false? In a deck of cards, the king has a mustache.
Hmm.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Because especially with the mustache theme.
That's a great point.
T-York's next level. You don't know that?
Hmm. We're doing no shave mustaches.
Oh, it's A. smashes A.
Not even close.
It's like 30% more.
Not even close.
When we get our board, we'll be able to show that to the audience because we want people to listen and watch.
That's dope. Yeah.
E's use 11% of the time. A, 8%. 8.5, but still. Yeah. Okay. Deck of cards. The king does have a mustache.
He does not.
Does he have, he doesn't have a beard. No facial hair, huh?
I bet one of them does. The queen? Does she have a mustache?
Look that up, because there's a king of hearts, a king of spades. There's, are they all, is it the same king?
King and a deck of cards. Or what is the...
I guess, oh, he, oh.
Let's see here.
That's a mustache.
Is it? Let's see.
Look at the...
Can you make those bigger?
That's a mustache on the spades.
Oh, those are the shopping for.
Where's the spades?
Oh, boy. It is small.
Yeah.
That's a mustache. Yeah.
So it looks like the king of hearts is the only one. So that one I got right. So
it had to be king of hearts. Why would they be? They're different kings. Their faces look different, too.
I knew that. I knew, like, I didn't know which one. I knew one of them was, like, a side profile. Yeah. One of them was.
So actually, three of the four do have a mustache.
All right. So I'm one for two.
Nice
so this
shot.
Is.
That was a tricky one. All right. Fish cannot blink.
So I'm just trying to look at odds here. So the first one was. We got a false, and then, so this one, so I don't, so the thing, basically, fish couldn't blink, I'm going to say true because they don't have eyelids.
That's true.
Ooh, 50-50.
What do you mean? No, you're right. You got it right. True.
Yeah, so.
They
so,
cannot
I
blink.
Mean, so we each tied is what I'm saying.
Two out of three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll see who gives better would you rather answers, and then that'll decide. I'll
right,
be the judge.
Good. I wouldn't mind knocking out a quick 20.
All right. I'll do the first one. Would you rather uncontrollably break into song or unexpectedly lose your voice?
I already do the first one, bro.
You do a lot.
I already do the first one. So, yes, uncontrollably break into song.
Yeah.
That would be a blessing, not a curse.
Yeah, you think it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the room with you. Yeah, I would probably say the same one. I don't want to lose my voice. I do a lot with it.
Okay.
I talk a lot. I've,
you do talk
so
a lot.
So I've strengthened my vocal. I would assume it's like some type of thing you can strengthen, right? Because
yeah.
I remember when
you
I used to like.
Strong.
What? Stop it. When I used to go live, like on. Remember on TikTok, I would go live like twice a day, whatever. Like my throat would be so sore just from talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't getting sick. It was sore. I talk more now. I've recorded freaking 45 videos for the MTR course. I've done a coaching call. I've done an onboarding call. I've done lives. I've done like we did shot 20 videos yesterday. So I talk all day. So I've strengthened that muscle. So
when
I
you go home,
that.
Do you like? Are you just like a mute?
I put like honey on it and just let her like ride.
Let it just drip.
All right, ew, go.
All right,
I'm not the one that lets it drip.
All right, so second, would you rather? Would you rather be chased through a forest by a zombie or a lion? Zombie for sure.
Probably, yeah. Just because zombies...
You're not going to win.
A lion. The only thing you could... Yeah, I guess they could smoke. The only thing you could do is... Yeah, zombie for sure.
And zombie,
slow.
Like, they're slow,
yeah.
Right? They don't die very easily, but they're just like...
And I don't think they're smart, right? So you could like...
Unless it's like a 28 days later zombie, those...
Those might, yeah.
I think the question, you know, maybe how many zombies would it take chasing you to where you would pick... A lion over a zombie.
Probably like 10.
And they're fast.
They're fast zombies.
Yeah,
maybe
they can
five,
run.
Maybe five.
Five?
Because I feel like, and like
that's
no zombies
right.
are smart, I don't think. So like, I could like outsmart them, like hide behind something or do something. Like that, the lion's going to smell you and find you.
Yeah, have you seen that video of like the lions, that's the male lions, which they don't do a whole lot, right?
No, they just kind of chill. The women
yeah.
do everything.
But they were part of a pride, I think mm-hmm. is what it's called, and another male lion, like a nomad, like went into their area and they just, for fun, they bit into his spinal cord and broke his back, and he couldn't move, and he was alive, but they just left him there for fun.
The women did?
No, the men did this to him. Oh.
That's fucked
up. It's so fucked up. I don't like watching video of it.
I don't like watching stuff in like the wild. I don't like watching nature do nature things.
Dude, it is intense.
Not a fan of that. Yeah. That makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's messed up. Real quick, I Am Legend 2's coming out.
Really?
Yeah. I think Will's trying to make a comeback after Slap. He ain't done shit since then.
Yeah, he needed a little break.
Yeah, he needed a little break.
Are him and Jada really splitting up? Or like, I can never tell.
I doubt it. I don't know. I've heard also. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
I thought this one was more for real than other shit I heard, but maybe not.
I haven't heard, so maybe.
All right. You want to give the last one?
Would you rather have everything you eat be too sweet or not sweet enough? That's a good one, because like something that's too sweet is just like rich, and it's like,
I would say not sweet enough, because everything that you eat doesn't have to be sweet. Like, I'm more of a savory guy anyway. Mm-hmm. And then if I have a sweet, it's just not quite sweet enough, I'd be okay. Mm-hmm. But if everything was too sweet,
yeah, you'd just be like, oh, I don't want to eat that.
It's like you're eating desserts for every single second of your meal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
A sweets guy, but still, I think I'd rather do like the not sweet enough. Yeah. I agree.
Cool. All right.
Perfect. All right, motivate them, Walls.
Well, you have 20 push-ups, because I
will do
answers.
I'll do 20 push-ups, but I'm not gonna do them on like supposed to on camera.
Or you motivate while I do the push-ups.
Get on your fucking hands and do them, Lucas. I'm gonna be like a drill sergeant.
I'm gonna knock out 20 real quick. I'm gonna knock out 20.
I mean, not real quick. You can't do them fast. You're not strong.
No, I don't want to. All right.
So Luke's going to do push while he's doing push up. I'm going to motivate. So in general, this is kind of a piggyback off the last week of like, this is very distracting, but I'm going to do it. Like, there are so many opportunities to still make money in real estate there. Real estate is what you need to invest in. If you're going to invest in one thing, it has to be real estate. You can do other things. How was that? All right, diversification is like fine, and that's a cool thing to shoot for every once in a while. But if you like have limited spare time because you have hobbies or family, and you have time, you have like 5 hours a week to devote to something, it fucking has to be real estate if you want to create wealth. No other way is going to help you like get to that financial freedom, that wealth number, assuming you have big goals. No other type of investing strategy allows the flexibility, the leverage that real estate does. Like real estate, there's so many levers you can pull, Luke. It's like cash flow is tighter, short term, interest rates are higher. Let's do short-term and mid-term rentals. Or interest rates go down, house prices go up. Let's refi, pull out some equity, get some tax-free money. The market's down a little bit or shifting, let's wholesale or get in and out and do rehabs. Mm. The market's going crazy, let's do long, you know, 6-8 month rehabs because we're getting so much appreciation and we're, you know, getting ahead of things. So there's just every situation that the economy throws at you, literally, you have some type of lever to pull in real estate. Now, some of them like they're not all billion-dollar ideas. I understand that, but there is a lever to pull in every single thing the market throws at you. That is not the case in crypto and stock market investing, and that's not a case in all investment strategies.
Yeah, and just to add to that a little bit, you know, if maybe you've done the end goal is to own and hold real estate. That's where
you create wealth.
That's where the wealth comes from, right? And you just got to figure out a way to hold on long enough, so you get the tax benefits, you get the equity, you get what else am I missing there? Equity, tax benefits, whatever.
Kind of cash flow.
So you just got to cash flow a little bit along the way to own it long enough. So people that are maybe doing started doing a couple wholesales or a couple flips, and like, I hear this all the time, like, you know, I could sell this house and make 30 grand, right? Have you ever heard that, Sam?
I have, yes.
And I was like, you know, that's cool. And if you need to eat and live on that 30 grand, that is fine, right? But you got to figure out a way to transition into rentals at some point, because that 30 grand is going to be worth 200,000, like Sam says, over the next 10 years. So, and you'll be able to protect and save the income that you make from fix and flipping and wholesaling if you own a rental portfolio.
Nice. And I just got a text from your mom.
What'd she say?
She said to me and you, she said, hi, guys, okay. Just halfway through your latest podcast. Just want to let you know Missouri requires all high school students to take a personal finance class now. They probably include a lot of the topics you were talking about.
Yeah,
Shout out to Colleen.
Both of our moms were teachers.
Yeah, they both were. Yeah.
They got a little public school in them. But that's all good. I like that part of my childhood, my parents.
Yep, for sure. Me too. Awesome. So you rounded out that motivation. So Vest in real estate.
Vest in real estate. Like, peace out, y'all.
I'm ahead of you now. I'm ahead of you now.
No, I think you're still down two.
Not down two. What are you talking about? I've made like 4 of my last 5, and you're like 1 of 5. You weren't like 8 ahead of me.
I was 6 ahead of you.
No, you were
not. I think you...
Well, 6 ahead maybe with these types of throws for a while.
Well,
not like normal throws. Yours is a normal throw right now.
No, it's not.
What is not normal about it?
There's a tripod, and I can't. I have you would, something
if,
in my arm.
If it hit the tripod, it wasn't going in.
Yes, it could.
No.
Whew, I needed that. It's been a minute.
Got lucky.
All right, I have like Joker it off the wall.
These should count as like 3. It's literally twice as hard as your throw.
If you're making it, must be much easier.
It's twice as hard as your throw.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 times.
And if you make it for the 5th time in a row, you're just that on fire? Or that means it's easier?
No, that means I'm that much fucking better than you. No backboard, no net.
That was so lucky.
That hit the bottom of the net.
Well, I'm still up too.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.